In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Again, I reiterate, as I've been saying all through the Triduum, this is why we are Roman Catholic. This, the Triduum. In essence, the entire reality of what we commemorate every Sunday, but done in an elongated fashion so that that which we become familiar with, we no longer take for granted. And so we began with the reality of a certain degree of darkness, with the expectation of what would happen to our Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane after he establishes the Holy Priesthood and the Most Blessed Sacrament, the Eucharist, the gift of himself in continuation of the salvific work he would accomplish on the cross. We consider the reality of his betrayal in the Garden of Gethsemane, and then the horror of Good Friday, which is indeed Good Friday for us, but also good for him in the sense that he's accomplishing his Father's will, and he's perfectly obedient to God the Father, and he serves God the Father, and then ultimately fulfills what he said he himself was doing. He was serving man by saving him. And this is the reality of what we commemorate now. Those words of Christ must be considered. Do not be afraid. The words of the angel, consider, do not be afraid. How we lose sight constantly of the resurrection of our Lord. How we get overwhelmed by the problems and difficulties of life. How we let worldly things worry us, so much so that they overarch and overwhelm our awareness of the risen one who has conquered death. How often we forget the words of Christ himself. Do not fear the ones who can destroy the body. Fear the one who can destroy the soul by consigning it to Gehenna, the judgment of God, in other words. And oftentimes we think the judgment of God will always be delayed so that we can take care of the things that are pressing for us. We forget that death does not have any final victory over the follower of Christ. Those who choose not to follow, the second death will come, and it is a horror beyond comprehension, eternity in hell. Chosen not because God is so mean, but because they are so mean, and they wish that. There's something about the reality of the resurrection and this dynamic with regards to how it is described in the Gospels that helps us understand what Christ has done, that he is God. He has come into the world, and he has taken upon himself our humanity in totality, which means he takes upon himself the consequence of being human for all sons of Adam, original sin. He does not have it, but he takes on the consequences of it. That is to say, the reality of his suffering and death. He does not deserve to suffer and die, but still, he chooses to do so. And so, as the great Abbot Marmion indicated, that when we see in the Gospel of John the napkin laid aside, the burial cloths laying off to the side described so accurately, it's an indication of now Christ officially putting away that vulnerability, demonstrating that mankind now has the opportunity by grace to overcome everything, if mankind chooses to do it and not submit himself to the world and all of its false promises, and all of its pressures, and all of its artifices, which are all designed specifically by the prince of the world to lead us in the wrong direction, to lead us away from the Christ, and to lead us only to that which is for our destruction. So we must consider the reality of how we're living life, because Easter is always our opportunity for a total renewal. Always our opportunity for a new beginning so that we can do things differently. That's why the time is so filled with grace by virtue of what our Lord affords us. That is why this is indeed a unique time. So consider how you will go forward from this day on after participating in this most sacred time in the church. And for those of you who are truly devoted, who will again go to Mass on tomorrow morning, it is indeed a profound thing, because it is not enough for those who love the Christ. It is not enough. We must not cut it short. We must not end it too quickly. Hence, we will celebrate Easter for 8 days in the Catholic Church, the octave of Easter. And we should be mindful as we witness throughout the Archdiocese individuals coming into the church, the reality of the work of the Holy Spirit, and what would inspire them to come into the church? What would inspire one to join the church today? And are we part of that inspiration? Have we done anything to lead things in that direction, to lead others to where they ought to be? Let us give consideration for the example we're giving to those who are coming into the church. Sometimes it is purely by the work of the Holy Spirit that they come in because we've done nothing to inspire them, to encourage them, or to make them think those Catholics do things differently, not just by virtue of the strange rituals, but by the fact that we should be living lives of such joy and such completeness in Christ that nothing hinders us. We must always remember the first martyrs in Rome who sang while the lions were tearing them apart, who died with smiles on their faces because they knew life in Christ, they knew grace. They weren't afraid of the ones who could kill the body. They were afraid of the one who could destroy the soul by consigning it to Gehenna. So let us consider what we are afraid of and hear the words of the angel who masterfully opens the tomb, not so Christ can get out, but so the disciples could go in, and who shows the conquest of death by sitting on the rock, sitting on the stone that was rolled away, demonstrating defiance for the awful power of Satan, death. And he says, do not be afraid. And Christ says the same thing. Acknowledge where the fears might be, where you are too concerned and preoccupied with the world, and lay that aside as our Lord laid aside the burial cloths himself. Let us be detached, appropriately so, from the world, not as though we don't exist in it, but living through it as pilgrims on the way to heaven. Let us be mindful of ourselves and mindful that we are to call others, you in particular as a laity, who make up the mystical body of Christ in the world, you are to call others to the resurrected one, so that all may know there's nothing for them to fear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.